We continue our learning. We're in Shkalim Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Mitzarfin Shkalim Lidarkonos Mipnei Masoi Haderech. We can convert Shkalim into Darkonos, which are gold coins, as we'll explain in a moment, because Masoi Haderech, to lighten the burden on the trip. Of course, you have many shkalim that are half shkalim that are collected from different towns. Of course, carrying them to Yerushalayim could be very difficult. And in order to make life easier, people would exchange these silver coins for gold coins. The gold coins were called darkonos, darkon. In modern Hebrew, darkon is a passport, probably related. And they would use these gold coins and to make life easier, to be able to carry the value of the half shekels that had been collected over during the month of Adar. Now, besides this being something very practical, there's a chiddush here in the Mishnah as well, and that is that one would have thought, well, maybe the gold will go down in price. If that depreciates, so then the Beis HaMikdash is losing money in that way. So the prices can fluctuate, and if I change my silver into gold, and now gold depreciates, so the Beis HaMikdash is going to lose out. Maybe I should just bring the silver the way it is, and that's the end of it, because that's what I designated, and I owe a machzis HaShekel. So the chiddush is, no, we're not worried about that. We assume the price of gold is pretty, is going to remain not going to fluctuate that much as other things do, and therefore keep it, if you want to make a darkon out of the shkalim into smaller gold coins to bring that currency to the Beis HaMikdash, that's acceptable. Then the Mishnah says, Kishem shall you shofaros ba-mikdash, kach you shofaros ba-medina. The shofaros were the collection chests, were the pushkas, where they would put all of the different coins in the Beis HaMikdash itself. In the Azorah, there were 13 of these shofaros designated for different purposes, and people could make their contributions there. Two of them were for the purposes of the half shekel, two of the 13. And they were made, really called a shofar, because that's the way it was made. The Bar Tuna says, Tevo Shepihen Sar Lamala, it's narrow, the opening is narrow on top, like Kain Shofar, Shepiv Tzar Lamala, Vaholech Umarchav, and then it gets wider at the bottom. That's exactly what it was to look like. The bottom wasn't open like a shofar, it was closed, as our pushkas are, but it was narrow on the top, and the purpose of this was to avoid, as the Bar Tuna says, Kadesha Lo Yuchlu Lito Mehen Klum, so no one could stick their hand in, and a dishonest person should not be able to steal from it. So the shofaros were not only in the Mikdash, says, but they were also in the Medina. We mentioned this before, that they came to the Medina on the 25th of Adar. Now people are putting pressure on people and beginning to take a mashkon from people. So at that point, on the 24th, that's when they would be able to check. They would take out the sheep in order for, and you would do the bidika, the bikur at that time for those sheep for the first of Nisan. So they would have, and we also had definitions of what Medina meant versus Mikdash here, learning the simple way, not like the Rambam. There were shofaros in the Mikdash, which is the Beis HaMikdash proper, and shofaros in Medina in the city of Yerushalayim, but outside the Beis HaMikdash. Then Mishnah says, B'nei Yair, Shesholchu es Shekleihen. You have people of the city. So they're not bringing the shkalim themselves. They're sending them with a shaliach, with a messenger, with an agent. The nignivu o sha'avdu, but they were stolen or they were lost. So now we get into issues of having a shomer. Is it a shomer chinam? Is it a shomer sachar? And what's happening? Is there negligence here? Is there onus? Is it a circumstance beyond their control? So here we're assuming that the person is doing a favor. He's an agent. They're sending the shkalim with this shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is chayav either on pshia, if he's negligent. He's not chayav if it's stolen or lost. He's certainly not chayiv in ones, but he's also chayiv if he is sholeach bo yad, shlichus yad. If he uses the object for his personal use, also he could be chayiv if something happens to it. But here, assuming we're speaking about a shomer chinam, and what happens? V'nignavu o sha'avdu. They were stolen or they were lost. So here's such a person who can potentially take a shvur, take an oath, that he didn't do anything wrong. What are the oaths that a shomer chinam, an unpaid watchman, usually makes? So he makes in order to exempt himself. First of all, we believe him to take an oath that he was not poshe, he wasn't negligent. Number two, that the object doesn't have in his rishus, and that he was not sholeach boyad, he didn't use it at all for his personal use. So speaking about such a shomer, the Mishnah here says, im nitra hatruma. So Here's the question. Question is, if it's gone, these things are gone, so who is he swearing to? And by the way, the Rishonim point out that we can even be speaking about a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar, let's say he's a paid watchman who's a paid Shaliach to bring these objects. So even a Shomer Sachar is exempt in cases of Ones. So you could have a case of Listed Mezuyon. The Mishnah speaks about here that it was lost or stolen. So Geneva Aved is usually that middle category, which is not Ones. So he would not be able to swear to exempt himself. Only a Shomer Chinom would be able to swear and exempt himself from Geneva Vaveda. But here we can speak about a Shomer Sacha because there is a Geneva that's an Ones. That's Listed Mezuyon. Armed robbers is a case of Geneva where the Shkolim were stolen, but it's a case of Ones because they were armed robbers. Or you could have a case of Aveda, which is also Ones. Let's say something was on a boat. It was lost at sea. So that's also an Ones. So the Mishnah could be understood, even though it speaks about taking a Shvua to exempt yourself from a Geneva Aveda, it could even be speaking about a Shomer Sachar, and he's exempting himself from cases of Ones that are Geneva Aveda. Either way, how do we know who to swear to? So it all depends on who potentially you are, who is the victim here. Im nitrama hatruma, if that truma means where we withdraw the money from the pushka, it means to lift it out. So it will learn in the third perek that that they would withdraw, not every day, they withdraw the money from the shofaros, from those pushkas, every once in a while, certain dates that we would have, not every day. So they would take them out and they would use them whenever they use them. And we assume that every Jew who contributed to those pushkas is represented in the karbanos that are brought from those pushkas, from those coins. So if you brought, if you had coins in there, even though those weren't the coins that were used to buy that sheep for that particular day, you're still included in the Karban HaTamid. But not only that, that even includes, based on a brisa, even where people have half shekels that were lost somewhere in the Azara, somewhere by the Gizbar, even before they were withdrawn at all from there. Or let's say you have, there are donations that are on their way that haven't arrived there. Those are also included. It reminds me of Bechiras Chametz, where the rabbi sometimes tells the non-Jew, someone may have sent me an email just last night that he wanted me to sell his chametz. I didn't get it maybe, or he forgot to do it. He planned on doing. I have him in mind as well. I'm selling that person's chametz as well. Sounds strange, but the Mishnah is telling me that that's true in such a case. So if they withdrew the coins already from the pushka, that includes not only the people who gave already, but coins that were lost or coins that were on their way and something happened to them. So then these people who sent their coins with the shaliach, they're basically already taken care of. So who now is the victim? Who loses out? Who would have to now pay back the Beis HaMikdash would be the Gizbar, would be the treasury itself. Nishbayin la Gizbarin. So since the Gizbar, the temple treasury, is the one who is the victim here, so he's the one who's going to claim, hey, maybe the money never got here. So and he's going to claim this to the Shaliach, and the Shaliach as a Shomer is going to have to take his Shvua to the Gizbar to exempt himself from having to pay any more. But the imlav, if not, which means they didn't take the truma yet. The coins have not been withdrawn just yet. So the loss, this Geneva Vaveda, took place before the funds were withdrawn from the shofros. So then it doesn't matter who's on their way. They're not included yet. They, the people who are sending along with the shaliach, would be required to contribute another machzor shekel. So they are the victims in such a case if something was lost and stolen by their agent, as their agent was on their way. So they are the ones that are the victims. They would take, the shomer then would have to take a shvua to the Bnei Ha'ir. So that's what it means. Imitra ha'truma, they withdrew already, nishbarin la'gizbarin. So then the shomer, the shaliach, would have to take the shvua, I wasn't negligent, or I wasn't this, I wasn't that, to the gizbar, to the treasury, because they are the victim. Vimlav, but if the trumas were not taken out of the pushka yet, so such that the people who are sending their shkolim are not included, are not represented in the coins that were withdrawn and the korban hatamid that's being brought. So then the lav nishbar levnei oir. Then the shaliach, the shomer, has to take a shvuah to exempt himself to the people of the city. And if he does, and indeed he's exempt, so the people of the city now have an obligation to give new shkolim. V'ubnei oir, says the Mishnah, shoklin tachteyan. Since the loss or the theft took place before the truma was withdrawn, the people of the town have not fulfilled their obligation. Nimtzu, let's say they found the coins were found. Oshe hechzirim haganavim, or the thieves wanted to do tshuva and then return them. So now I have the new shkolim that they gave, and now I have the shkolim that were found or returned. Elu va'elu shkolim. They are both considered shkolim. They have the status of shekel, and therefore they are both considered kadosh. You can't say, as the Mishnah says, vein only lahem l'shan haba. You can't say, well, I'll use the extra ones for the following year. Yishavli says that right now what would they do with these coins? So one set of coins they'd put in the pushka that says tiklin chadtin, which we'll learn a bit later, which are the Aramaic for the new shkolim. And the others they put in the pushka that says tiklin atikin, the old shkolim. The Amoraim debate in the Yushalmi, which one was which? Were the ones that were found put in the Tiklin Chatin Pushka and the newer ones in the Tiklin Atikin, or was it the reverse? That is a debate. Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. Hanosin Shiklo Lachavero Lishkol Al Yado Ushkolo Al Yadei Atzma. What happened? You have a person who gave his half shekel to his friend and says, listen, I want you to contribute this for me. But what did this friend do? Not such a good friend. He took it and contributed it for himself. He didn't use the money to as a donation of machzat shekel for the owner of the money. He gave the half shekel and said, this is my half shekel. I'm giving this as my half shekel. So it's not really his half shekel. So says the Mishnah, how do we view this? So by way of introduction, we need to speak about the Isser of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is where we steal or derive benefit, misappropriate from Hektesh. And the Torah speaks about this in the Sefer Vayikra, Nefesh Kisimol Mal, V'chata Bishkaga, in a case where the Me'ilah was done B'shogeg. So here, a person has to bring what's called an asham me'ilos. So you have to bring an ayal or ram, and the Torah tells you its value, kesef shkalim, two shkalim, as a korban asham. He also has to pay the value of that which was benefited or stolen from the Beis HaMikdash and add on a fifth. That's in a case of Asha Me'ilos, where we have a case of where a person is a Moel Behekdesh B'shogeg. So here you have a person who gave a shekel to his friend, and now Ushkolo Al Yidei Atzmo. So what happens? Here you have the agent who is going now. He gave it as his own contribution. So assuming, let's say, we could talk about where it's maybe done with Shogeg. So then there's a discussion of Asha Me'ilos as well. But either way, we're speaking about Me'ilah and why and in what way it's violated and in what way maybe we're not violating Me'ilah. So here we assume the agent is Ma'al, as it says, im nitrima truma. If the truma had already been withdrawn from the pushka before this agent violated Me'ilah, uses the half shekel for himself, ma'al, then we consider the agent for violating Me'ilah, and he has to pay back and has to add on the extra fifth. Why? So that half shekel became kadosh as soon as they were pulled out, the truma pulled out the funds from the pushka. So this shekel was really included. Remember, it was on its way. It's on its way, we said, nitrima truma. And then this guy decided to give it in as his own. So that shekel that now this person, the agent, decides to give as his own, when if the funds had already been taken out of the pushka, we assume that that shekel, as it was on its way, was included and was already represented in the karbanos that were brought. And that way, when this messenger fulfills his obligation with this half shekel, he's really getting benefit from the Beis HaMikdash, because this is something that already Nitzrama Truma, so that's considered a Me'ila. Now, we normally say mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. Mitzvos are not given for enjoyment, for hana, for pleasure. And therefore, we don't look at a mitzvah as where I'm getting pleasure, I'm getting benefit. So maybe we shouldn't say he's benefiting from the Beis HaMikdash here by there shouldn't be an Isser of Me'ila because he's fulfilling a mitzvah in such a way. Not true. In this case, we do consider the shaliach, the agent, as getting personal benefit because by doing so, he gets out of the debt. He owes his own machzis hashekel. So this indeed is considered a me'ila, it's hana, and it's we ignore the issue of mitzvos lav le'eros nitnu. That principle does not apply here. Then the Mishnah says, hashokel shiklo mima'os hekdesh. He, if someone forgot that the money that he had was already donated for Bet HaKabayis to use to repair some of the parts of the Beis HaMikdash and not for Karbanos. And now he's using it for Karbanos. He's using it as the Machzis HaShekel. He didn't realize those coins were set aside for Hekdesh of Bet HaKabayis. So, says the Mishnah, so does he violate Me'ila? This would be Me'ila B'Shogeg. So, im nitrama truma v'karva behema, if the truma, they would withdrew already the funds from the pushka, and the animal was already brought as an animal, as a karban, ma'al. This person has violated the prohibition of Me'ila. So, because he's someone who is using Ma'os Hekdesh as here, this is money that was for Bedek HaBayis. And if he uses it for his own purpose, and indeed he did, because now he assumed that he could use it as the half shekel, and it was included in the half shekel because the Truma was already taken, so there's a violation of Me'ila. And then the Mishnah says, Midemei Maser Sheni, Midemei Shvius, Yochal Kenegdan. What's happening here? So here is where a person is using other funds that are set aside for some other mitzvah and he's trying to use them as a machzis hashekel. So we have to figure out how does he solve that problem? So the first case is Maser Sheni. We discussed Maser Sheni. We learned Masech when we learned Seder Zroim. Maser Sheni, which is given in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. And you could have Maser Sheni. That's your produce, and you could redeem it onto coins. And here you have coins that were set aside for Maser Sheni. So here, coins that are set aside for Maser Sheni, I have to use a half shekel to purchase the Korban HaTamid from where? From Chulin. Kol davar shebechova, eino ba'a elemen achulin is the rule. That's the principle. You have something that's an obligation. It has to be brought from chulin. I can't use Maser Sheni coins to buy karbanos. That's not allowed. This is set aside for, I have a debt of a machzis hashekel. I can't use that Maser Sheni coins for that. Or midemei shvius, or I have Shemitah coins. Another example, I'm not allowed to use Shemitah funds that came from Shemitah. If I have money that was used to purchase Shemitah produce, that's called demei shvius, and it has kedusha shvius, and it's there are many restrictions that apply to that money. As we learn Masechah Shvius, so I'm allowed to use it to buy food that's going to follow the rules of Shemitah, but I can't buy land with it. I can't use it to cover my debt of a machzis hashekel or any other debt. I can't use it to buy clothing, and by the Maser Sheni as well can't settle my accounts with that money. So what should I do if I ended up using Maser Sheni coins or Demei Shvius coins or Shemitah coins for the purpose of Machzis HaShekel? Yochal Kenegdon. What should I do? I'll eat food bought with other money of the same value. And that way, if I take chulin money and I say on this shekel, let the Maser Sheni or Shemitah money, wherever it is, will be redeemed on this half shekel, and then I use that half shekel to buy food, then I've redeemed the other half shekel that was the Maser Sheni or the Shemitah, and that was okay to be used for Machzis HaShekel because I now used a different half shekel to buy food, which now becomes the half shekel of Shvius or Maser Sheni.